And welcome back to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Colton, I'm your host for this evening, and you're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Also, you know what? Sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, I was listening to your show and it was so good, but I had to get out of the car. So you know what? If you get out of the car, you can actually, about a week later, normally, depending on how quickly we upload it, but if you go to the NAGB's website at www.nagb.org.bs, you can actually find all of the old Blank Canvas shows. So you can go back, you can type in the name of the guest maybe, type in the name of the guest in Blank Canvas, and you'll probably pop up the show. And the archive is there going back over the last like 6 or 7 years. So it's a pretty cool archive. So, you know, if we're getting one of these like weird rainy days in the middle of the non-rainy season and you're stuck at home, go to the NAGB's website and try to listen to some more Blank Canvas. You can also share it with your friends. And of course, while you're there, you can also take a look at what's happening at the NAGB. They have a calendar. There's normally a lot going on. It's still sometimes Zoomy stuff. Sometimes it's in-person stuff. I know that they have, they're going to have a Christmas market this weekend, I believe. There's going to be a Christmas movie, and those things are always free. There's no ticket to get in. Also for the Christmas movie, that's in Fiona's Amphitheater, which is outside. So it's super COVID friendly. There's lots of space. You get your own cushion. You can watch the movie out under the stars. It's really nice. So just, you know, check out the NAGB's website. Most of the stuff the institution does is free unless they have a workshop and there's materials involved. So really, it's a really great space, and I encourage everyone to become a part of it. Even though I'm not there anymore, I still love it with all my heart and still show up to things and enjoy it because it's a great place for the family. So right now, the NAGB has several shows up. They have a really beautiful show called Double Dutch with Riddell Warner and Tamika Galanis, which is really stunning. They have a show called Medicine and Memory, which is the group show on the ground floor, which is curated out of our permanent collection, out of the permanent collection. I have to stop saying R because I'm not there anymore. I keep forgetting that in my brain. And then upstairs is a show called Evolution of the Arc, and we're here talking to some of the artists from that show. And we're welcoming back Dr. Ian, quote, air quotes, Tony Bethel Bennett, who is a professor at University of the Bahamas. So, Tony, welcome back to the show. Long time no see here.
I know. Thanks a lot for inviting me.
Of course. I mean, I just feel like I haven't seen anyone in so long, but you particularly. We used to see each other all the time at the NAGB, and now, you know, you're at UB and I'm here. So tell us a little bit about the evolution of the arc, your work, and let's see if you can match Errol word for word.
Well, I'm not sure about matching him, but I wanted to pick up from where he left off in terms of the policy aspect of it, because I think it is absolutely essential. Like, these Avria and Kishel are young, they're dynamic, they have energy, but it doesn't seem to translate into what we needed to translate into. Like, when I was, I think it was maybe 5 years ago, I was more in policy. And what we understand to be moving forward in terms of policy now had already happened. Like, all of these agreements were entrenched when we signed on to the agreement with European Union to have free movement of artists. That meant free movement of European artists into the Caribbean space, as opposed to Caribbean artists moving into the European space, because we didn't have the certifications required by Europe to certify that each artist was documented in this region. So then, to go back to what Errol was talking about, the Treaty of Chagaramas, all of that is supposedly in there. The problem is each national government interprets each of those pillars of CARICOM and Chagaramas in very different ways. Mm-hmm. And that creates all kinds of confusion on the ground, especially when artists try to move, especially across the Caribbean from French to Spanish to Papiamento. So there are many complications.
Especially, let's call it like we see it, especially brown artists, right? So, you know, like I think the people that like carry their privilege, and, you know, I include myself very much in that, you know, you get asked less questions, right? So, you know, you roll in, you sort of like, they assume you're a tourist. Mm-hmm. And again, also with Europe, right? I mean, the fear of the invasion of the brown people, right? So like, oh, if we give everybody a tourist visa, like, what's going to happen? And that's, you know, that's a big problem, right? And even within our own context, and I think that's something that, you know, as we talk about the evolution of the archipelago, like, how do we get past that? Because in our own region, that still exists, right? With governments, you know, majority Black governments, fully Black governments, still having this fear of the movement of the brown people, right? And you're kind of like, my God, when are we going to get past that? Like, when?
It doesn't seem that we're moving, or we're moving backwards. It's really horrendous, especially when it comes to the economic benefits that we could gain from having a blue economy, having a green economy, an orange economy. And those economies are there. They exist. You don't need to invent them. Mm-hmm. They're already happening.
Yeah, no, I mean, the UN has come right out and said the orange economy is probably the going to be the leading pillar of getting everyone out of this, you know, this slump. Post-pandemic, or I don't even know if we're ever going to be post-pandemic, but to get us out of what happened because of the pandemic. So anyway, Tony, tell us a little bit about your work in the show. I mean, just, you know, while we're here.
Well, my work in the show is really about, Errol talked about the connections between the Caribbean. So we often think of ourselves as being an island nation outside of any other relations that are going on. Mm-hmm. And that's so not true. So whatever we're experiencing now, everybody else is experiencing similarly or the same. And that's a real challenge, because there's such a lack of connectivity, not because there can't be, like, I can speak to an artist in Barbados, but there seem to be so many barriers to our integration. Mm-hmm. But when I go to Puerto Rico, I'm seeing the same erasures that I see in the Bahamas. And, you know, my friends from Bahama, this is not about Bahama, because we all have to inhabit an ecology that allows us to exist. It is about the way that enterprise or the free market has basically begun to monopolize all the space and remove other things, so that not just the physical space that is lost, but the psychological, the emotional, and the historic space. And without those spaces, how do you know what your culture is? How do you reproduce culture? And how do you translate culture into something that can resist that erasure.
Yeah, and so, how does culture actually be something other than what we're pushing on tourists to pretend is our culture?
Yes, right? Exactly.
How can Bahamian culture, for example, be more than conch salad and junkanoo? But, you know.
And the straw market where everything is imported from China.
Well, Avery could talk about that.
I know, right? That was her.
That's going to be our connection to Avery and her work, because, from a long line of straw market vendors and... Yeah.
And also, I mean, it's not just about the physical erasure, but the way the straw market was closed for so long, that negatively impacted many, many people on the ground who either worked in the straw market in the physical space or depended on somebody who worked in that space. Mm-hmm. So you have an economy, an ecology, an economic ecology that really creates dependence, and then you shut it down, and then you don't think about how you're going to reopen it, and you impact all these other invisible aspects of culture and of life. So what we're seeing is not just how culture is changed, but how cultural practices change, because when you don't have that, it's, you know, you're really fraught. But I like what you were saying about the need for space to produce culture. But when you don't have that cultural memory anymore, how do you create culture when that cultural memory is lost because a Dorian comes through and wipes everything out, or a bulldozer creates a scar on the terrain to create a new subdivision that really does not want Black and brown people in it? But and, you know, these are challenges that we have to coexist with or cohabit with. But the reality is that those very subtle, very powerful changes shift the cultural paradigm.
And that, yeah, no, it's so true. And I mean, again, I maybe it's work I'm attracted to, I don't know, but like when we were just in Art Basel and we had our booth and we had like work by four women artists, Bahamian artists, Black women artists. And, you know, as I was talking about each one, I was like, each work was about this kind of nostalgia and about this kind of trying to preserve something that's being lost, you know, and I haven't really thought about the intentionality of putting them together. I just loved all the, I was like, I love these women. I'm going to put this work together. But as I was talking to people, you know, that were coming in the booth, I was just like, oh my God, like all of these artists, you know, April and Kendra and Anina and Sydney, you know, they're all kind of, you know, putting in these elements, you know, whether it's Androsia fabric, whether it's a clapboard house, whether it's, you know, casting the sugar apple, whatever it might be. But it's always this kind of like, oh my God, we have to preserve this thing in a very contemporary, weird way. So when you first look at it, you just see this like funky art piece. But when you start to like unpack all those layers, there's so much kind of longing and nostalgia and sort of fear of loss, right? And so much art being made by young and older artists today, because they're kind of just seeing, like you said, they're seeing the disappearance. And it's like, how do we memorialize it, and how do we like put it in film or put it in sculpture or put it in so that there's like a time capsule at least, you know, one day that we can come back to. And it's sad, you know, it's also really sad. It's kind of beautiful, but sad.
Yeah, but as Errol says, you know, art is political. I mean, life is political. It's not about the politics of voting for somebody. It is political. Your existence is political, especially when your movement into a different space is barricaded because of your color or ethnicity or religion.
Or what body parts you have, you know.
Or what body parts. Or what body, what bits you have. But yeah, I mean, gender discrimination is a reality. That's and right. If you decide that you are non-binary, you have a serious challenge that will face you at a certain border. And, you know, those are realities that we don't really...
No, I mean, listen, you probably know I'm, like, dealing with things on there now, and it's so complicated. And then, you know, one country allows this and the other country allows that. And you're just like, okay, how do I make this work? It's difficult. And then especially in our region where things are, you know, not progressing necessarily as fast as some other places are progressing.
But that's something else I challenge. Why is it that we have become so... And I use the term very advisedly, backward. I mean, we were never backward before. This is a new backwardness that has happened. And it's this really narrow fundamentalist perspective of what is acceptable and what isn't. This whole Victorian colonial respectability politics that's so dangerous and so problematic for so many people.
Yeah.
But you know, life does not progress along a straight line.
No, it doesn't. This is so true.
No, we will advance and we will come back. We will advance and we will come back.
I tell my kids that because they despair sometimes. And I'm like, listen, you know, when you get as old as I am, you see the ups and the downs, right? So, you know, there's 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, 5 steps forward, 4 steps back, 2 steps forward, 1 step back, you know, and it kind of, you know, the graph is always up and down like that.
Because the 80s were not like this. The 80s were certainly not, my 2 minutes. The 80s weren't this restrictive. It was beginning, but that whole, you know, the artistic expressions of the 80s were very different from the artistic expressions of the middle 2000s, where we are now.
That's true. But at the same time, I'm surprised at the things, specifically when I was still at NAGB and even what we're doing here. Change is incremental. And sometimes it's a bit like your own kids. Like people are like, oh my God, they grew so much. And you're like, did they? Because I've been looking at them every day and they seem the same. Because, you know, I think about some of the shows we did. And I remember when I curated Funky Nassau back in 2006 and that showed at the NAGB, people resigned from the museum. They were like, there can't be toilets in the institution. And this was about the Iraq War. And there was another piece about, I think, AIDS in the student population. People were like really horrified. They were like, oh my God, this is so gross. And why is the National Institution like revealing our underbelly? And you know, in the last 10 years, we did some shows that, you know, I was surprised that no one pushed back on. I'm like, oh, we're not even like going to end up in the punch with this. I'm like, I'm kind of disappointed. So I think there's been a kind of incremental change, but you're right. There still is a lot to do. So a ton.
And there will always be more to do. You know, there's always, you know, we have to articulate, we have to push. It's not just about producing work. It's also about how you produce that work and what the work is saying and where you take that work and how we as artists influence the politic of the body politic to actually listen to and understand what we're talking about.
And with that, that's a great segue to two younger artists from our community who are having an exhibition at the Current at Bottom Art, and whose work actually intersects with a lot of these things we've been talking about. So we're going to go to a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to hear from Avery Wright and Tishelle Mills, who both work at the Current at Bottom Art, but who are also practicing artists and have work upcoming in the next show at the Current. And we'll hear about that. And we'll hear probably, I'm sure we'll hear more from Tony Bethel Bennett, also known as Dr. Ian Bethel Bennett, and Errol Ross Brewster, who are artists in the show at the NHGB, The Evolution of the Arc, which is still on. So go see it. And don't forget, the NHGB is free. Don't forget that every day. And we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, a show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm your host, Amanda Coulson. We'll be right back on 96.9.